Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker, sponsored by
Michael's Flooring, the flooring experts. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com.
On the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And welcome to Overnight America. Ooh. That's one of those in Boom Goes the Dynamite nights. 14-3 win. That felt pretty good after a loss yesterday. Not feeling so good, losing to Washington and now coming back a nice win. And let's hope that tomorrow's another one of those exciting moments on KMOX. So it gives us a late start. So I wanted to give you at least an idea of what you can expect the next couple of hours. We have some great guests scheduled, like Tom Sullivan on his latest discovery of the wasteful spending in the county. Oh, there's so much wasteful spending. How much? That's the question you'll ask yourself when you hear it. You'll almost want to run to the bathroom, get a Q-tip, get the wax out of there, and say that again. I don't think I heard you correctly. It's one of those numbers. It's bad. Also, next hour, Grace Curley's joining us. She writes for The Spectator and the Boston Herald, is a radio show host in Boston for WRKO. And she wrote a piece about the media's attacks on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And it was a good piece, good points. And I thought, hey, let's get a radio-friendly person on the show. So she'll join us also later, too, in the 1 o'clock hour. Austin Roos is the president of the Center for Family and Human Rights to talk about standing up against some of this radical agenda that's been pushed on kids. And Merrill Oliver is joining us, too, to talk about COVID funds and how local governments will be using them and what they can and can't do with that money. Kind of an interesting thought. So a lot on the show here tonight. We have been watching, at least streaming, some of the different news coverage from Minneapolis and Brooklyn Center. And it was strange to watch some of the protests in the streets, some of which over the last couple of days have turned dangerous. You wouldn't want to be near that at night. Today, it was something similar in the sense that there were protesters out by police stations, kind of like what you would see in Ferguson or something along those lines, except tonight was a little bit different because there was a curfew in place. They have a curfew up until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and they were doing live news stand-ups. The TV station was the local TV station, and they were in Brooklyn Center. This is, watching everything that's going on, and I wouldn't say a trial run for what could be happening in Minneapolis with the Derek Chauvin trial. But what I noticed, and the thing that really stood out to me during all of this, is the reporter has some of the different protesters in the line of police in behind her. And she was talking about how they had to use tear gas and rubber bullets and things because people were getting unruly and they were breaking curfew after a certain point. There was just, you know, if you want to get out of hand after that curfew is in place, then that's a no-go. Police were not putting up with it. So she was standing up and she was talking about this. And as she was talking about the protest, it started snowing. It was so distracting, knowing that everything else that was going on in the background, the snow is all I can think of. Wow, in Minneapolis, in Minnesota right now, it's snowing and people are out protesting. It's snowing. after having these 60 degree days, and we'll have more of these 60 degree days in a row in St. Louis. It makes me happy that I'm here and not in a place where it's still snowing on April 13th. Don't want any of that. Don't want it all. But we are watching that. And the last couple of nights have been pretty bad. And it just gives you flashbacks of what happens here in St. Louis and have happened here. But watching Minneapolis, there is an eye out on that. Real quick, I didn't have an opportunity to play Kevin Kleen's whole nother story from the other day. And he did a great piece on the meat market. You know, I'm a big fan of going to the butcher shop, picking up a nice cut of meat, grilling, things like that. What about that meat market that Kevin Kleen can only tell a story like this?
It's Don's Meat Market on South Broadway, a brick building with a neon sign on the front of a cow. It's a temple of meat, and the man in charge, the owner, Michael Jackson, says people still like their meat.
We sell a lot of meat. We specialize in fresh meat packages.
So you butcher them in the back or what?
I'm sorry?
You butcher the cows here?
No, we don't butcher them here. They come already butchered.
Do you ever have people come in and rob the store and say, give me a veal cutlet and run out the door?
No. No, never.
Do you ever get any former vegetarians come in to say they're sorry?
No. No, not at all.
What's hot this spring with meat buyers?
Big thing, I guess, to be rib tips, ribs, chicken wings. Those are big hot items.
What's your favorite thing to eat in the meat department?
I like ribeye steaks.
What's better about a ribeye for you?
To me, it's more tender, and it's got more marbling in it, so it makes it a better steak.
Do you feel guilty when you're eating a ribeye?
Not at all.
How many times a year do you eat a ribeye?
Oh, probably maybe 20 times a year.
20 ribeyes a year?
Yeah.
Well, you're in the business.
Yeah, right.
How often do you think the average person has a steak every year?
Maybe once a month.
It's more than me.
Yeah.
You're out in the country on a Sunday ride and you see a cow eating the grass. Do you ever feel sorry for him?
Not at all.
What are your feelings? I mean,
it's an animal. It's an animal. That's how I guess.
You think like that could have been me?
I guess that could be true.
But you like the ribeyes the best.
That's my favorite.
What's the future of meat? Will meat always be here? Or, you know, there's talk that they want us to eat insects now and more vegetarian dishes.
I think meat will always be around.
That is Mr. Ribeye, Michael Jackson, the owner of Don's Meat Market at 4012 South Broadway. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
What a beautiful use of music right here. Meat, it's what's for dinner. It was a great ad campaign. There's some very memorable ad campaigns. That's one of them. The other one was the Got Milk. That was a pretty popular one there for a while. But meat, it's what's for dinner. It was always a good one. Yeah, a steak a month. Unless you're eating at home and you're going to the meat market and things like that, that changes things. And I definitely don't go as much as I want to, but I love a good meat market. Oh, man, what a nice memories of hanging out. I went to... one summer, I stayed at a cabin, and it was one of those small little villages that, you know, probably a 15-minute drive, and it was a one-stoplight type of village, a gas station, a laundromat, a bar, a grocery store that doubled as the butcher shop, and that was it. I would go to that grocery store where it had cheap New York strip steaks. It was like $1.25 a pound. It was something really cheap. And I would eat steak every single day that summer. It was wonderful. I had a little grill. I would marinate it in Italian dressing. It was great. And I was eating so good. And I don't know if I could ever do that again, but man, it just brings me right back thinking about the meat market. And normally you can find some of the best spices, the marinades, or if you want to get a dry rub, or you just want to get some seasoning or something, normally the meat markets have the absolute best, their own blend or whatever it is. You got to talk to the people that know their stuff, and they could put together something. If you haven't been to a meat market in a while or butcher shop, go do it. What a great thing. Kevin Kleen, I hope you picked up a steak and brought it home, or at least a couple of steaks. All right. A couple of things I want to bring up scheduling wise. We are going to have Tom Sullivan on right after the break. We'll take a look at your weather. And Megan Lynch has a new feature. Her series this week is called When Will It End? Looking at the pandemic and asking that question on a couple of different fronts. We'll air her piece from Tuesday, which is today. It aired on Total Information AM, but we're going to bring those to you this week on Overnight America. Her feature will come up a little bit later, too. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Get the inside story on what's happening with your St. Louis Cardinals this season directly from the Redbirds manager. It's the Mike Schilt Show, Sunday mornings at 10:15, sponsored by Bath Fitter on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
He pays very close attention to county politics, and I'm so glad that he spends time with us here on Overnight America to discuss the things that he has found in really a big discovery this time around. Tom Sullivan, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Ryan. Thanks for having me this evening.
I love your latest opinion piece and this your discovery of how much money was actually spent when it came to the lawyer bills and everything that came to find legal representation when it came to this whole county council deal that happened a couple of months back. So the cost to fight the power grab is a pretty big number, and I was hoping you could talk about what you found out.
Well, if you recall, the county actually sued its own county council members. This had to do with the election of officers for the new year. As you recall, the Councilwoman Rochelle Walton Gray, her term ended at the end of the year, and they had election of officers in the beginning of the year, and then they needed to have four votes in order for Lisa Clancy to continue on as chair. Well, what they did was they just extended the term of Councilwoman Rochelle Walton Gray so that there were four votes for Lisa Clancy to be elected as chair. Of course, the only problem with that is it was just incredibly illegal. You just can't do things like that. And after the new board after the new majority started on January the 12th, they essentially removed Lisa Clancy as a chair, and then in a subsequent meeting, they installed Rita Days. At that point, the county councilor filed a lawsuit against the majority council members, saying that what they did was wrong. Well, then the majority council members, they had to go out and get their law firm to represent them, and it all went to court. And then the new majority actually won the case, and Rita Days stayed as the council chair, and Lisa Clancy was removed. Mm-hmm. Well, we finally got the bill on all this recently. Lisa was recently disclosed, and it's going to cost the county $127,996 in order to represent, so that the majority of the council members had representation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really an incredible amount of money for something that never should have happened to begin with.
Really ridiculous, considering that it was resolved pretty quickly, right? I mean, it was in a matter of a couple of weeks.
The litigation probably went on about for a month, maybe six weeks.
Was it that long?
And you know how the courts move, and so eventually they made the decision, and it was not favorable to Lisa Clancy, who of course is an ally of the county executive. The county executive had a lot of interest in this, of course, because when you have the majority of the council on your side, that means you can put through your program. It means that things like the county auditor is not going to be replaced because they don't want to replace him. So that means that nobody goes looking into how he was spending the $173 million CARES money. So at any rate, it's all over with, and it's going to be, it has become a better council, I think, because we have a different majority.
What a ridiculous thing to begin with, where there are votes from people who are technically not representatives of the area that don't have a vote after they leave office, and to have to try to argue that and to have lawyers out there to try to defend both sides. What a wasted amount of money. We're always talking about how we can spend money in the county. It seems like one example after another. You can look at the coronavirus spending that happened with the original package and all the wasteful spending there. It's just like one thing after another. You look at this and say, how in the world are we able to operate if we're this dysfunctional?
Yeah, and the county has lost even more money. The last week, it was the final decision. There was a lawsuit against the county having to do with a death in the county jail in 2019, and the lawsuit claimed negligence on the part of the jail administration. And it was finally a final decision on that, and the county had to pay $865,000. And of course, that's in addition to all the other lawsuits that they've lost. So, I mean, when you look at the amount of money that they're spending on verdicts against the county, plus they're spending now the $127,000, I mean, the cost just keeps going up, up, and away. And, of course, there's no shortage of things that the money could be spent for in St. Louis County, you know, meeting some real needs.
This is ridiculous. And we're also going to find ourselves in the future continuing to fight. When you saw that number, I know you had to do a little bit of digging for this and just how absurd it is. I think most people can look at this and understand we got a serious problem when it comes to the county and spending right now. And I know that you've brought in other issues like the audit. I wonder how many things have gone unseen in the county when it comes to spending, because we haven't conducted a real audit in as long as, what, the last 4 years?
The county auditor hasn't done any audits. They still have a an outside auditor once a year, but I can't say that that's very comprehensive. You can go back to 2014, I believe it was. It was discovered that a high official in the health department had embezzled $3.4 million over 6 or 7 years. And they're finally catching up to him, and the guy committed suicide. But I mean, that goes to tell you that you know how things have been happening. And I think what was so scary about this particular situation was the guy did it so simple. He just made up a phony name, opened up a post office box, and sent in bills, and they got paid. So
wow, isn't that amazing? Tom yes. Sullivan joining us here on Overnight America. That's one of the issues, and you were watching the county council meeting here tonight. What were some of the big issues they were debating?
Well, the big issue everybody was watching, there was a resolution having to do with no confidence in the county police chief, Mary Barton, and that got quite a lot of discussion, and there's quite a divided opinion. It did pass 4-3. The Democrats voted for it, and the Republicans voted against it. But usually things don't break down by party lines on the council. But that's been a continuing issue with the St. Louis County Police. Don't forget, we have a lieutenant colonel who has a lawsuit against the county, and there's also two lieutenants on the county police force who have lawsuits. So I mean, it just keeps going on and on.
You know, one of the things you mentioned is that the loop trolley continues to be a point of discussion. I thought this thing was just gone for good.
No, well, the loop trolley has made a request of the East-West Gateway Council of Governments for $1.26 million to help continue to operate the trolley. This particular pot of money has to do with mitigating traffic and therefore reducing air pollution. Of course, it's been noted that the trolley does the exact opposite. It clogs up traffic, and therefore it causes more air pollution. So I don't know how much of a welcome this is going to get at the East-West Gateway Council of Governments. The current chair is Kurt Prenzler. He's the chair of Madison County, and I know he is dead set against it. I know there's some other people on it. Actually, the chair of the county council is also one of the voting members, so I know she's against it. She voted against it. By the way, it passed unanimously of the council, so I think it's going to be tough for the East-West Gateway to fund something when the governing body of St. Louis County is dead set against it.
Yeah, I don't think they want to, and I wanted to mention, originally I was going to try to make a comparison to the infrastructure bill that is being talked about federally speaking, and all these trillions of dollars they want to spend across the country on different projects. And I was going to compare that to the loop trolley and to say what you're doing is you're funding a lot of things like this that are ultimately terrible ideas. You're just throwing money at things that are unnecessary. But then they kind of changed the definition of what infrastructure means, and they tried to say it's human infrastructure. So it might not be a physical thing like the trolley, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things that other communities are going to be faced with that will be just pure disasters like this was for our region. Tom Sullivan joining us here on Overnight America. And I wanted to also ask you about Sam Page, because it sounds like he's trying to pull a couple of tricks. And you were saying that you saw him discussing executive orders and some things that he wants to try to push unilaterally?
Well, executive orders are something that's relatively new in St. Louis County. As we've seen, we've had presidents of the United States in recent years do them. But he came up with this executive order. It was last week. And it has to do with the bathrooms are no longer going to have gender-specific bathrooms. You're going to have unisex bathrooms. At least that's what it seems like he wants to do. And with an executive order, you know, there's no vote on it. It's just unilaterally says here it is. And they were going to ask him some more questions upon it tonight, and I think they were probably going to do that, but. Exactly where it's going to apply. I mean, don't forget, supposedly it's for all county buildings. Well, that would include the county jail also. And there's just a lot of questions about it. It seemed like he just hurriedly put it together and said, well, here it is. Supposedly it's supposed to give equality for transgendered people. And rather than having to, supposedly they have a difficult time deciding whether if they want to go to the men's or the women's restroom, and this therefore would eliminate that so they can go in anyone. So I don't know if there's a great need for it, but at any rate, that's what Sam Page decreed in his executive order.
Let me tell you what comes to mind when I hear that, executive orders and such. Before the county council, he had the support of them and pretty much could do anything. It was to the point where they even gave him the ability to go and spend this coronavirus money without their oversight, which was a huge mistake. Now I think the county council is realizing this was a bad idea to give this much power, and they want that to rein that back in. Next thing you know, he's signing executive orders, so going around it yet again. And when it comes to politics that have been burned by an area, with Steve Stenger now sitting in a federal prison, we need to be very wary when you have one person that has too much control and could use it inappropriately. And this has to be really looked at.
Especially so in the county charter, all by itself is very much weighted towards the county executive. So I would say probably already has a little bit too much authority. But one thing I might mention also is, and this was on the agenda tonight from the county executive, is that the county is going to get $192 million from the American Rescue Plan. And I think the county executive has understood that there's not going to be any repeat what we have with the $173 million. So he has met with the county council members, and I think we're going to have a whole different situation this time around. And I think there's going to be much more input from the council, and the council is going to actually appropriate the money as it should be doing all along.
And let's just remember the discussions we had a couple of years back when it came to a city and county merger, and they wanted to give all that power to Steve Stenger. He would have been the overseer of this large region, and how disastrous that would have been knowing what we know now. And I want to also point out that in the future, we know that with Tashara Jones coming in as mayor in the city of St. Louis, she wants to bring the area together, more unified area. We need to make sure that there's not a super concentration of power between just a few people that can make decisions like this. There needs to be a lot of oversight. There needs to be a lot of transparency. We need to know where this money is going, how it's being used, and that there is input from other people on how it is used, because that's the way government should work. Unfortunately, there's a lot of circumventing of that when it comes to county politics and, well, in politics in general. So if anything, let this be a learning lesson for us. We have to be very wary and skeptical, and we have to keep an eye on these things. And you've been doing it for years. And I don't know, right now, it seems like a particularly crazy time when it comes to this area's politics. I don't know how long you've been paying attention to this. It's been decades. So what do you think about the way things are now compared to what you've seen in the past?
Well, that's an interesting question. In some ways, for one thing, there's nothing wrong with open discussion, even though there's some people often say, well, you know, we shouldn't be going at it like we are. Well, nothing wrong with open discussion. And in the past, especially in St. Louis County, nobody paid much attention to anything. I can remember when county council meetings would only go 20 or 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And tonight they're probably going to go 2.5 hours. So in a way, that's good. When Sam Page was selected as county executive, the first words out of his mouth were, transparency and accountability is going to restore confidence in county government. Well, he hasn't really kept that promise, that's for sure. But I think now we're going to see a little bit more transparency because he no longer controls the council. So there's going to be a lot of discussions with a new mayor in the city, and we have a new majority on the council. So I think there's going to be more open discussions in the future.
Yeah. All right. So a lot of things on the agenda. I'm glad you had a moment to come on, and congratulations is in order, I would say. I think you scooped all the other news agencies when it came to finding the amount of money that lawyers were paid in the county when it came to the council members and the county executive and all of the nonsense of somehow there's former council members allowing a vote, and it's just ridiculous that this even had to go to court or at least have lawyers involved with it all. Seems all common sense that if you're no longer a council, a county executive or a county council member, that once you're done with your term, you lose the ability to put a vote in. So it's so ridiculous. $128,000 wasted. And I'm so glad you brought that to the attention, because people need to know these things. Tom Sullivan, thank you again for joining us here on Overnight America.
Thank you for having me, Ryan.
And he joins us on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America with Ryan Recker is sponsored by
Michael's Flooring, the flooring experts. Michael'sFlooringOutlet.com.
On the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. And Megan Lynch has put together an awesome series. It's called When Will It End?
Conquering COVID. Now, the latest on KMOX.
When will it end? That's the question KMOX News is asking this week about the COVID pandemic. I'm Megan Lynch. Many people also want to know, how long will we be wearing face masks? A poll of roughly 6,000 adults by the University of Southern California found that more than 80% of Americans believe wearing masks is effective against the coronavirus. However, that study also found that while most people shopping for groceries have face coverings, far fewer wear them when they're in close contact in small gatherings. Earlier this year, Dr. Anthony Fauci suggested we could be wearing masks into 2022. KMOX's Maria Kina had a conversation with the head of the task force overseeing our region's response.
My doctor would not let me wear masks. Anyone harassing me to wear masks?
You're going to work on my teeth, not my nose. I don't wear a mask getting my teeth cleaned.
Convincing people to wear a mask has been a challenge from the start of the pandemic. But as more people are immunized and transmission of COVID slows, will masks stay?
It's hard for me to think that a year from now, we're going to be still wearing masks. I just logically don't see that. Now, what can you do after you've been vaccinated or after you had enough time post that second shot, if you're doing the two shot, or enough time past the single shot to have developed significant immunity? I think it's still important that people continue to practice all the mitigation strategies. And there's a couple of reasons for that. So one, there's still biological plausibility that people can become infected and spread virus asymptomatically. So if you think about what a vaccine does, it suppresses the ability of the virus to make you sick from a viral infection. Now, if you develop enough immunity that you don't experience any symptoms, obviously you're not getting sick and you're not going to die, but you could still be an asymptomatic carrier, at least for a period of time, then you have that potential to still be spreading.
Dr. Alex Garza, leader of the pandemic task force, adds masks will be a challenge on two fronts, messaging and a scientific perspective, once a significant portion of the population is vaccinated.
We don't really want to create this division between the haves and the have-nots, with the haves being the people that were fortunate enough to get vaccinated. Because that makes it really difficult for, you could see a storekeeper trying to police people that have been vaccinated and those that haven't, coming in wearing a mask, or those that aren't wearing a mask. So it's a little bit unfair, I think, to the population to try and segregate it that way. And so I think until we get enough of the population immunized, where we've reached sort of that herd immunity status, it's really important that we sort of act all as one community.
But Garza won't be surprised if some people continue to wear masks for next flu season.
It's much more popular or consistent in Asian countries with mask wearing out in public. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see that the influenza numbers have been almost non-existent, and there's a reason for that.
Garza hopes the lessons learned from this pandemic will be used to prevent spread of future respiratory viruses. Maria Kina, KMOX News.
Some people are willing to take whatever measures are needed just to see and hug their loved ones again. Tomorrow, KMOX's Carol Daniel asks, when will it end for nursing homes and other long-term care facilities?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.